This is Bucky Bacall with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. Chick season is here. Domesticated hens can hatch chicks almost any time of year, especially under artificial light and indoor setups. But in more traditional settings and in freer ranges like backyards and small farms, the longer light cycles of April result in higher egg productivity, and the warmer weather and increasing availability of nutrition signals to hens that if they sit on fertilized eggs for a few weeks, chicks are likely to emerge. In a few months, the heat and humidity will signal the opposite, but now is prime setting on eggs time. Meanwhile, the association of Easter with baby chickens encourages a fair amount of sentimental and sometimes impulsive purchase of baby chicks at the counters of plant stores, which, as you remember from my Easter chicks show a few weeks ago, I'm not entirely opposed to, as long as it ultimately leads to responsible chickening, which it usually does. Or some folks may be inspired by more practical considerations, now being a great time to introduce hens to a garden so they can start debugging and de-weeding and conditioning the soil with their micro-tilling, fertilizing industriousness. And more folks are indeed being inspired to start chickening than ever before. I can't even keep track anymore of all the media about the growing chickening movements and all the new chicken experts emerging from the wings and joining me in broadcasting the merits of chickendom. And here at my home, as you can hear by the peeping in the background, we're welcoming two new quail chicks to our microflock, living in a one-bedroom apartment in Astoria, Queens, where we head out several times a week for field trips and outreach. Our hen, Dearie, is a particularly broody individual. She's been trying to lay everything from unfertilized eggs to appropriated wine corks to plain old air for easily three-quarters of her year as an adult hen. So when I was in Louisiana at the Cajun Classic, on impulse, I entered my tickets in a raffle for fertilized quail eggs, because quail are small and have a good hatch rate. I've had experience before with persistently, obsessively broody hens, getting over their broodiness once they've had the experience of hatching something. I got back from Louisiana and put 4 eggs under Dearie, only half expecting a result. A few weeks later, I woke to a whispering in my ear. "I hear peeping. What do we do?" I said, "Let the hen worry about it." More because I wanted to go back to sleep than because I was confident Dearie would know what to do. But really, that is the hen's job. Honestly, baby chicks make me apprehensive too. They're incredibly cute, and watching them grow and get feathers and learn adult chicken behaviors is nothing short of miraculous. But they seem so vulnerable that I never want to leave their side. I guess I have a sense of how a mother hen must feel. Which is why my top suggestion is for people to try to adopt a mother hen along with her chicks. Small-scale and hobby farms frequently have extra chicks and even hens that they can't care for. Ask around at your local feed store or farmer's market, or if you don't know of any in your area, try that old Craigslist or the message board at backyardchickens.com. Do keep in mind that roughly half of chicks will grow up to be roosters, and you should have a plan in mind for whether you can keep a rooster, legally or practically. And if not, can you find it a home? Will the person who gave it to you take it back? Or are you willing to dispatch it yourself? For you, the best choice may be going to a hatchery that does DNA tests on chicks or raises the sex-linked breeds, which have certain characteristics like coloring that indicate sex at birth. Or you can only adopt full-grown hens. And although you'll be missing out on some very interesting times, you won't miss out on any of the benefits of chickening. A mother hen will provide the constant care chicks should get, and you can relax a bit more. All you have to do is make sure you have a good coop with a nice nesting corner where the hen can take her chicks, and that there's chick food and grit around in case the hen can't forage for everything she'll know the chicks need to eat. If you watch carefully, you may learn a thing or two. But I have to admit, not all mother hens are created equal. There's quite a bit of variation according to breed and variety, as well as individual, natural-born skills, and also experience. So if you can't acquire a mother hen along with your first chicks, or even if you want to double-check the hen's work, let's go over some basics. Keep in mind, although I know a lot about chickens from personal experience and tons of interviews and research, I still don't consider myself a chicken expert. I'm a chicken storyteller and chicken evangelist. Luckily, there are now tons of internet resources like BackyardChickens.com, or one of the many books now available, like Raising Chickens for Dummies, City Chicks, Keeping Microflocks, or the classic Stories Guide to Raising Chickens. Doesn't mean you can't still listen to my show and send me questions as well as personal anecdotes at bucky@buckybacall.org. So, okay, forget all the complications for now. Just imagine yourself heading home from the farm or store or post office with chicks and you're playing the mother hen yourself. What should you do? immediately get them warm by putting them in a simple box from which they can't escape, and point a warm light toward them. The light temperature should reach around 90 degrees Fahrenheit, but the box should be large enough so they can get a bit of range and get away from that temperature. Line their warming box with dry leaves, pine shavings, or shredded paper. They can't handle their footing on a smooth surface and can't hurt themselves. That's where they'll practice their foraging techniques as they start to learn to scratch. Include some kind of heavy wood or stone platform to keep their waterer and food dish on so the chicks don't get it full of litter, but make sure they have access to it. Keep checking the water to make sure it's clean. They must have water at all times. And make sure it isn't so deep they can't drown or get wet in it. They eat and drink and poop even more constantly than full-grown chicken. Another thing a lot of chicks seem to appreciate is some kind of hen substitute. They normally will have an instinct to sleep under a hen when they get tired, but a stuffed animal or an old wool hat will do just fine. A lot of people feel safer to buy a big bag of chick starter feed from a pet shop or farm store, but they do contain antibiotics if you have misgivings about that. You can also go ahead and feed them a mix of instant oatmeal, flaked infant cereal, or other whole grain cereals. You can put whole grains, rice, wheat, barley, old-fashioned oats, stuff like that, into the blender and blend them slightly, but not to a powder. Just think about a size that can fit into their little beaks. I have to admit that this year I decided to buy a bag of processed chick feed, partially because I read that quail chicks are more sensitive to feed than baby chickens, but also just because I'm really busy this month, and even though making my own chicken feed from kitchen scraps and whole ingredients seems routine at this point, I just don't have the will to reason out chick food. One of the things I learned from watching mother hens is that hens will mash up a bug or vegetable matter to get it ready for chick consumption before offering it to them with a distinctive and adorable cluck that means eat this tasty treat. Tuk 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 tuk. Usually you hear roosters saying it to their favorite hens. If you're a very ambitious surrogate hen, you might want to harvest some earwigs or doodlebugs and chop them up real fine. If you're a lazy assistant, like I am this year, you'll find the hen eating more processed chick food than is ideal for her long term. But I figure whichever way you choose, it'll all balance out. In a matter of weeks, chicks are already ready to eat the same as adult birds, and their food will be macerated internally in their crop, a little pocket in the neck in which chicks, just like adult chickens, need access to commercial grit, rough sandy soil, or tiny pebbles, which help provide that grind and action they need. I highly recommend taking chicks outside for supervised foraging lessons, even when they're pretty young. The sooner they get outside the box and can be self-sufficient, the better. That's what mother hens will do. Just don't take chicks outside for too long if it's a chilly time in the year. Be mindful of the ideal temperature. The first week of the chick's life, the ideal temperature is around 95, and 5 degrees less each week thereafter. First week 95, 2 weeks 90, 3 weeks 85 degrees Fahrenheit, 4 weeks 80, and 5 weeks 75. Around then, they'll start getting used to whatever temperatures you have. Whether on field trips or inside, make sure your chicks are not walking around on smooth surfaces. They still don't have enough grip to handle that and could wind up injuring themselves. One way you'll never be able to replace mother hens is that humans should handle chicks as little as possible. I know it's tempting, but handling a lot might injure them. To pick them up when you have to, slip one hand under the chick's tummy and put the other hand on top of the chick to hold it gently but firmly down. You can start training them at an early age by giving them a command such as step up, so they know you're about to pick them up and they'll eventually step up onto your finger on command. I used to laugh at my partner for doing this because I know it's what people with parrots and other exotic birds do. But it's one of the most useful tricks you can teach a chicken. It's useful in the long run and helps you interact and have fun together. This is Bucky McCaw, signing off. I had a good time.
Bucky McCaw.